Oakland, Washington, Wednesday, April 8th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, drama on the high seas. A U.S. ship is hijacked by Somali pirates while trying to deliver relief supplies to Kenya. We'll talk with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash about just how dangerous those waters are, what the right response is when attacked by the pirates, what to expect from the U.S. military when it finally arrives on the scene, and how should we deal with this problem along with our allies to make sure that it's not a problem anymore. Insight from Captain Nash in just a moment. Also in this edition, the latest plan to combat global warming. A key advisor to President Obama suggests shooting pollution particles into the upper atmosphere in order to help block the sun's rays and therefore cool the earth. We'll find out why this is a deeply flawed idea when we're joined by Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. We'll also get his thoughts on what the real climate challenge is right now, water rather than temperature. Plus, the Conscience Clause. We'll talk with Dr. Donna Harrison, president of the American Association of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, about why a new proposed Obama administration rule would force doctors to perform procedures they find morally objectionable. All of that is straight ahead. We begin with piracy on the high seas, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired. We've asked him to draw on his expertise of many years in the Navy to explain what the situation is in the Gulf of Aden off the coast of Somalia as those pirates continue to operate and today taking an American vessel captive. And Captain, it's always good to have you with us.
Nice to be back with you, Greg.
What can you tell us about that particular area of the Indian Ocean there, right off the eastern coast of Africa, the Horn of Africa, as it's known? We've seen this story play out with so many other ships carrying the flags of other countries. Now it's the U.S. Why is that such a dangerous area?
Well, you've got a lawless country that borders the Gulf of Aden and then down into the Indian Ocean. So the country of Somalia is shaped like the number seven, where the northern part is where most of the piracy was taking place. And then you come down south, and then you get into Kenya and then Mozambique as you come down the eastern seaboard of the continent of Africa. It's a very, very shipping-intense area. 10% of the ships on the planet are on their way through there every year, going up through the Suez Canal or down through from the Mediterranean down into the Red Sea and around to the Gulf and elsewhere. So it's a very heavy shipping area, and you have a lawless land, and has been lawless since 1991, for the pirates to live, raise their families, swap the goods, and then they put out to sea to ply their trade, which is stopping these ships and holding them for hostage. They did it 43 times last year successfully. Estimates are that they made about $80 million doing that. They haven't killed anybody. They treat their folks, their prisoners fairly well. It's a dangerous situation. I'm not trying to minimize that. But the fact of the matter is, these are not terrorists. They're in it for the money. This is about business. And they will continue to do it because they're making good money. And they started out, but back in around 2006, the going price was about $1 million a boat, a ship. Now it's up to about $2 million a ship. There's price escalation going on here, but they've been very successful. The maritime nations of the world have put some of their Navy ships up in the Gulf of Aden, which has dramatically reduced piracy. For the first 3 months of this year, there were hardly any incidents at all. And that's why the bad guys now, the pirates, have motherships, and now they are hundreds and hundreds of miles out in the Indian Ocean, all the way out to the Seychelles and all the way south to the Straits of Mozambique, which is between Madagascar and the continent of Africa. So you have, just to put this in perspective, Greg, something to people to get their minds around. The country of Somalia, I said it's shaped like a seven. That shoreline of the country of Somalia is as big as the eastern seaboard of the United States. And the area of sea that we're talking about is about 4 to 5 times the size of the state of Texas. So this is a massive area, And these guys are out there in little freighters, little junk trawlers with speedboats, and when they communicate with each other with their satellite telephones, so they can use Inmarsat or whatever their international carrier is, and they're talking with each other. They're plotting these things out on their laptop computers, and then they show up at the right time, and they hijack these ships, and it's big money.
Captain, in terms of the right response, most of the time we've seen countries give in to the ransom demands. You mentioned the millions of dollars that have been collected as a result of all the hijackings just in the past year or so. You mentioned that they're not terrorists. They're in it for the money. But should they be dealt with the same way, that giving in to their demands only means the problem gets worse? Or do we get the sense that since they're not harming folks, that at least for the most part, that probably is the smartest approach?
What the shipping companies are doing is they view it as, look, we'll get our people back. We have about a 1 in 1,000 chance of being hijacked on this cruise. So every time they send a ship down through there, they run a 1 in 1,000 chance. Now, something to keep in mind is that personally, I think we ought to deal with these guys the way we dealt with them in the 1700s and 1800s. That's my take, okay? And that is, you catch them. You try them. If they're guilty, in today's day and age, they go away forever. I think they ought to swing by the neck. But the fact of the matter is the shipping companies are trying to deal with this to minimize the outcome should they be hijacked, which is why they are very reluctant to put lethal security teams on board. And the other thing is you can take a look at how the shipping business is doing. The shipping business is not doing very well. Why? Because if you look at the international economic situation, shipping is way, way down. You can measure that by a thing called the Baltic Dry Index, which is every day in London, the Baltic Exchange checks shipping rates on 26 worldwide routes. And because the number of ships out there is rather inelastic, there are a certain number of ships available. What you wind up with is the pricing goes up and down based on the demand for those ships. And right now, the prices are so low that they are approaching the cost of the crew and to operate the ship. In other words, a break even, no profit. So there's a tremendous demand for business out there for these shipping companies. They're not making a lot of money, and the last thing they want to do is pay an additional fee to have security teams ride these ships.
Captain, we know that at least one, probably more, naval ships are on the way. They were several hundred miles away, given, as you mentioned, the vast expanse of water we're talking about in this region. What do you expect once those ships arrive, assuming the situation has not changed in any dramatic way? How will the Navy conduct that sort of a confrontation?
Well, there are a couple things that come to mind, none of which I really want to talk about on the air. But there are some things that could be done. Will they be done? I don't know, and it's because I don't know what kind of capability they have in Bainbridge right now. I would suspect it is a routine crew. I don't know whether they can get any special operations folks there or not on there, any of the SEALs. There are some options there, but I don't think that will happen. I think this will turn into a negotiation session. To try to get the American back. The one thing they cannot do is let them wind up ashore. Now, they're out of their boat. They are in, evidently, sketchy information coming back. They are in some kind of emergency, like the lifeboats off of the container ship, the Alabama. So they're out there doing that. They're trying to negotiate. I don't know what navigation information they have, if they could make it back to Somalia, how far off the coast of Somalia they are. So they are in a little bitty boat in a great big ocean, and, hell's a-coming. And it's probably only coming at about 25 to 30 knots, which, given the expanse, I mean, that could take, another 8 hours for them to get there. So, but when they do get there, you're going to have a warship with multi-caliber weapons and helicopters, and there are lots of options at that point for the good guys. The bad guys' options are diminishing rapidly. So they're going to get caught. They are going to wind up either dead or prisoner, And if they wind up as prisoners and anything happens to that American, then they will swing by the neck because they're going to be tried in Kenya probably. So at this point, their options are diminishing rapidly. They don't know that. Hopefully the people on the scene are trying to explain that to them. But I am hoping that this thing comes out okay and that they want to try to live to fight, live to steal another day and don't do something stupid to the American captain of the ship.
Last 90 seconds here, Captain Nash. Do you get the sense that given the coalition presence now in the Gulf of Aden, that it's wise to shepherd most commercial ships through, or given the fact that it's a 1 in 1,000 chance of being hijacked, that might not be the best use of resources?
It's probably not the best use of resources, but that's life. That's what it is. We cannot turn this over anymore, turn it over to these pirates. And that's the problem. If we do not stand against this, we, meaning the civilized world, don't stand against this, just expect more of it. And it will be coming, and it won't be linear. It will rapidly accelerate, because if you look at the economic conditions worldwide, it's even worse in these developing countries. And these guys are in it for the money. So if we don't stand against this and make it very painful, if not lethal, for them to pursue this activity, we're going to be overwhelmed by it.
And when you say we, does the U.S. have to take the lead here, or is this an international collaboration?
International collaboration. Everybody has an interest in this, because you may not own ships. You may not have your company in your country's companies may not be shipping in it, but eventually you pay for it. You're eating, you're buying things, you're getting the parts, and most of that stuff comes by sea.
Captain, unfortunately our time is up. Great of you as always to spend some time with us.
A pleasure, Greg.
Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired, Fox News military analyst. This is Dateline Washington.